Blog Talk Radio.
The radio show talking about the threat to the UK and world through creeping Sharia, Sharia law, Islamization, Islamists, and political correctness. These issues and more will be discussed on the East Anglian EDL radio show, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 8:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time for a great dose of information, insight, and telling it like it is. This show does not hold back as it delves into the issues that affect England and the Western world. Thank you for joining East Anglian's EDL radio show as we share our voices and welcome yours too.
We're not just coming down the road, but we're coming across the airways. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglian's EDL radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. And tonight, the co-host of the show is Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox. Pretty Jiffy, a.k.a.
I'm sorry, I'm not as fast on my feet today as I usually am. That's the only thing I could come up with.
Welcome, Kel. Ladies and gentlemen,
if you're new
to the show, every week, Kel puts a different name in. So if you hear me chuckle, it's normally because this just came up as I was just opening the show. Pretty Kitty, of course, I have a little chuckle. Absolutely superb. Once again, Kel. Good to see you, and I hope you're well, Kel.
I'm doing very well. I'm doing excellent. I'm having a great day. And, Jeff, I hope you're having the same great day that I'm having.
Yeah, as I say, I'm a little bit sad for yesterday because I couldn't make it to the Cambridge demonstration.
Yeah.
I woke up and I was, I couldn't get my breath properly. As you know, I've got a problem with my health, and I couldn't make it, I was gutted, quite honestly. The word's gutted, you know, because I really want to be there. I was really looking forward to it. We've been building up for it. But my health didn't allow me to take part. But I was following what was going on yesterday in Cambridge because I was called Ivan and called a couple of other friends of mine. Make sure everything was going okay. That's what we will talk about in a little while. Just just so I couldn't make it, because I was going to meet up with another friend of mine who, you know, with my who's on Baltal. I was going to, so when I was going to Cambridge, I was going to give him a call and was going to meet up, but didn't get a chance. So of course, so I felt a little bit down, but at the same time, but the actual demonstration itself was a success. Our democratic rights was heard. That's the main thing. Even though the police wasn't very accommodating, typical. Typical by the police, say one thing and do the other, and that's exactly a situation as we found yesterday. You know, I was getting a little bit of feedback. We might possibly have Ivan might be calling in the show a little bit later on, a little bit of debriefing of how he saw things. And but what, you know, what I've looked into, it seems like it was quite successful. You know, our Patriots that was there. You know, made a good show of themselves, made everybody aware, made the voices heard, you know. That was it, you know, a good day. I think most people enjoyed the day as such. Of course, the usual suspects was in the background there, trying to create havoc, and of course, costing the taxpayers countless money, trying to blame the EDL, because they're taking part in their own counter-demonstration, you know, and they moan about the tax, what's used to police an area. Well, you know, we're there to peacefully protest. We're not there to cause any problems. We're not there to go there to confront anybody. We're there because we need to be there to speak about this this mosque that they're planning, you know, that was in plans to be built. So of course, that's the thing that the EDL, we always will oppose these monstrosities, and our democratic rights to speak out against these things. You know, the usual suspects are causing problems. I think if anybody, if there was any arrest, it probably come from the other side. As far as I know, we didn't see too much, but as you know, I did see some pictures of a couple of people being led away, and they were definitely UAF.
UAF, I remember.
typical suspects, but, you know, we go to peacefully protest. It's not us confronting anybody. That they do want to try to get as close as possibly they can, and do what they normally do, throw bottles at us or bottles of urine, things like that, trying to make their point. And all they're doing is showing the world what a bunch of thugs they really are. And, you know, I've got to say, ladies and gentlemen, you know the way I feel about David Cameron. David Cameron actually sponsors these people. He sponsors these people like many other politicians, and the tactics these people, I call them David Cameron's foot soldiers, but they're an unsightly lot, really. They really are. You know, you really want to sort of take them and give them a bath when you see the state of half them. It's quite sad when you see. But you know what?
Kidding. Jeff, I was reading the Cambridge Times yesterday afternoon, and they had a slideshow. They had like 24 photos, and of course they're all concentrated on the UAF. And just looking at the photos, and it's like I just wanted to throw bars of soap at them.
I know.
Please go home and take a bath, and then come back. Because they really do look quite grubby.
Grubby. Is the word grubby looking, didn't they? I mean, it's really, I've got to admit, ladies and gentlemen, it is embarrassing when you see, you know, the UAF, these unwashed, we call them the unwashed because most of them are, they look like they've been living in the woods and things like that. You know, the typical, ladies and gentlemen, typical tree huggers, you know.
Do you know who else was there yesterday?
No, who's there, girl?
Our favorite EDL, our very newest of favorite EDL, the English Disco Lovers.
Oh, yes. bringing at the rear, we should say.
with their St. George's disco ball.
Goodness gracious, ladies and gentlemen.
You got me dancing, yeah.
Trying to dress like John Travolta.
Oh, I saw pictures of them. Oh, they were just a lovely looking crew there, Jeff. They had on their pink wigs, and they had the boas, the feathers, and they were just such a sight.
But you know the most embarrassing thing is that they tried to make themselves look like John Travolta's, but they don't look the part, especially with their anoraks. I can't help it.
No kidding.
Meet these people. You get a chance, guys. If you get a chance to see any of these pictures, please do, because you'll be chuckling like myself and Kel. We've seen these photos. We know about. And I get rather embarrassed to think that these are part of our great nation. That these people actually exist. But they do.
English disco lovers. Oh my goodness. I'm too sexy for my cat.
I'm too sexy
when
for
I do my little
turn
on the catwalk. Oh man, Jeff, how embarrassing that is. I don't know how people can walk around in daylight like that.
It should be a law against it, shouldn't there? They should have licenses to walk around like that. Let's be honest.
Not only that,
they frighten children away. No, they scared dogs. Dogs run away from them.
I can hear the dogs yelping. They're baying at the moon.
Well, we can't. Ladies and gentlemen, you might think we're being a little bit facetious towards these people, but my goodness me, they cause problems wherever they go. They just want to have problems. They're the type of people that was, they was at Westminster, spray painted Sir Winston Churchill's statue, a great war leader like Sir Winston Churchill, totally tried to wreck London. These are the type of people that we talk about. This is the embarrassing people that pictures are displayed around the world. And what can we say? We're totally against these people. Always will be. And they think... See, ladies and gentlemen, they think there's a law and order in chaos, because that's what the sort of things they want to be able to create. These type of people, they want to bring a government down, and they want to rule by chaos. They haven't really got a clue how the country would run under the control of these type of people. All they know is that they want chaos, and they like to cause trouble. They're very much going up against people like ourselves, who are patriots, who love this country, who love the freedoms and love democracy. These people totally detest it. They're no different than the Muslims, the one that we speak out against, the Islamists, ladies and gentlemen. No different whatsoever. But then again, they align themselves to these Islamist type people. They think that they'll stand with them and, shoulder to shoulder these type. But they don't seem to realise that under Sharia law, these people, they wouldn't have no voices. They probably wouldn't even have a tongue in their head because they're not treated with... Those type of people are not treated with any respect. You bow down and you worship their moon god. Or you pay a jizya, or you will lose your life if that's the case in an Islamic country. Because but they don't seem to realise that. They think they're pretty smart, but they're not really. They're not really. This is the case. It's total ignorance and oblivious to the future will hold. How can they stand in front of their great-grandchildren down the way a little bit and speak out, when their grandchildren, if they've got daughters, grand great granddaughters. They got they have to wear these burqas and things like that. What are they going to say to these granddads? Well, you know, but why do we have to wear? Why is it like this now? You know, what's he going to say, or what are they going to say? You know, whoever's involved with them. It can be. I know what I'm going to say. I'll be able to say that I stood up against these people. I stood up against Islamists. I stood up against the creeping Sharia, against the Muslim Brotherhood, and the things that's going on, political correctness. You know, I can stand proudly and say that's what I've done. That's what I tried to achieve, and that's what the English Defence League is doing, and the brother and sister patriots up down the country. That's what we're doing. And people just don't like us. They want to throw aspersions at us, but, you know, we are the right way. This is what we do, is the only way. If it wasn't for us, what you see before us, and a lot of people think we're already lost. You know, the Europe's lost, but no, it's not. All the time there's people like ourselves who stands up and speaks out and will fight for what's right at their nations. There will never be Sharia in our countries, because I will give my life to defend freedom and democracy like other good people who sits out there listening to this show. If you listen to this country, wherever you might live, freedom is worth fighting for. Freedom is worth dying for, ladies and gentlemen. There you go, Kim.
Oh, well, you know what? How can I top what you just said? I'm in awe that I can't top what you just said. I mean, you said it all. You spoke for both of us, and I totally, of course, I'm very proud of what I do. I'm very proud of what I do with the English Defense League. I'm very proud of what I do with the East Anglian ZDL radio show. I'm very proud of what I do with Red Fox. I'm very proud of what I do with my Facebook pages, Infidels Are Watching, and the East Anglian ZDL radio show Facebook page. I'm very, very proud. I may be a keyboard warrior princess, but you know what? I am at least out there. Me and Jeff, we're out there. You know what, though? I'm not half the person Jeff is, because he is out there. He is the man in the streets. He is the man who is going to the rallies. He is right there living it. He is defending England. And I can only sit here in awe. Back to you, Jeff.
Well, Kel, what can I say? I've gone red now. I've gone red. But no, Kel, what you do is so important. You know, being the co-host of the East Anglian ZDL radio show, speaking you know, as myself against these Islamists, creeping Sharia political correctness week in, week out, is what we do. And people are listening to our voices. Our voices are being heard wide and far, right across the globe. People are listening to what we're saying and joining with us. They might not be joining, you know, coming over this country and join, but what they're doing is that they're questioning what's going on. What they see is happening in their nations, they are questioning. So that's all we're doing, is we're making people aware that wherever you might be, that this tentacles of the Islamists are creeping into where you live. You can see the way that the changes are occurring. You know, and it is happening. And if it hasn't happened, I can guarantee you it won't be too long before you feel the same things as what we've been feeling, especially in the UK and across Europe, of what's been slowly but surely happening. And we can't blame anybody else, but, of course, our politicians. They've allowed this to happen year in, year out. And, you know, we've seen it. We've had to sit there getting very angry about it. And, you know, it comes to a time we say, enough is enough. We can't continue down this road. If we don't do something now, the future generations, all the things, the freedoms, the democracy, what we stand for, will be a thing of the past. Now is our time to stand up, be counted. For the love of your country, for the love of what freedom and democracy is all about, guys. But anyway, I'm on a bit of a rant. I apologise, but you know, when I get to, when I get on one arm, you know what I'm like, Kel. But also, I'd like to thank everybody. If I haven't acknowledged everybody that's sitting in the chat room, we've got a very busy chat room this evening, especially to Poppy and other good people, other new people's faces that I've seen in the room, which are pretty new to me. God bless you. Thank you all for tuning in to East Anglian or to come to the chat room this evening. It's always a blessing to see a busy chat room. And, of course, not forgetting to our great listening audience out there. If anything we talk about this evening, it's going to be, we're going to have a quite busy evening this evening. There's quite a few things we want to discuss tonight. But there is, if you've got Skype, you know, that there's a little blue circle there with an S in it. If you right-click on that, follow the prompts, and we'll bring you onto the show. If you, you know, you raise your hand and we know that you want to ask a question. But if you're outside the US, US of A, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. Repeat, 001-858-777-5934. And before we continue to some of the segments that we want to talk about this evening, I'd like to thank you all once again for last week. It was a great show. We had Christopher Logan on the show last week, and I've got to admit that the East Anglian's EDL radio show went all the expectations of this show. I just couldn't believe it. It's the numbers was just astronomical. So once again, I'd like to thank you all for listening in to the show in the archives. Whatever devices you listen on, we really appreciate your listening to us. So there you go. So I thought I had to say, hey, Kel, so back to you.
What do you mean back to me? No. I'm just kidding. No, I'm glad to be back. But, yeah, you know what? I think that Tommy is going to be calling in shortly, and I believe Ivan may be calling in shortly. But I was wondering, before we do get to the phones, I was wondering, did you want to do some updates for, well, we're covering the Cambridge rally, but we also have an update on the Islamic beating victim, Kevin McCarron. I was wondering if, do you want to get to that before we move on down the road.
Yes, because as I say, we have been following this story for a little while now, haven't we? So yes, Kel, if you could go ahead with that, because I think our listening audience has probably been following the same as ourselves, and I'm sure they'd like to hear an update and for how Kevin's recovery is coming on. So thank you, Kel.
You bet. And ladies and gents, as you know, Jeff and myself, we have been covering this. We covered this story about a month ago, and this involves Kevin McCarron. He is from New Jersey. He was in New York City with his friends. They were doing what young men do. They were reveling. They were having a great old time. And then after they left a drinking establishment, they went to get a bite to eat, where they had a confrontation with a group of Arab Americans. I hate hyphenated nationalities, but this is what they are referred to. Now, if you scroll up and you look beside the, well, actually, now that Blog Talk Radio has changed everything, it's above the show highlights. But there is a picture of these two individuals, and they're sitting in the courtroom. There's also a picture of Kevin McCarron with his girlfriend. He is the man who was beaten, brutally beaten, with a tire iron and a baseball bat, and his skull was fractured, and he was in an induced coma. He is today he is making a recovery. Now, two of the perpetrators, they appeared in court. Now, what they were initially saying is that, no, they weren't doing anything. They were just, you know, trying to keep the peace. These rabble-rousers, they were harassing them. Well, as we're finding out, that's not necessarily the case. He was, like I say, he was just amongst a group of friends. And somebody bumped into one of these Arab persons, and they started a verbal confrontation. It escalated to the point where these group of Arabs, they followed Kevin McCarron's group. They were sitting on their car. Somebody yelled out, "Get off my car, you dirty Arab," and thus there it went. One of them went back to their own vehicle, thus came out the tire iron, the baseball bat, and they just started laying on the very first person they came across, and that was Kevin McCarron. Now they are in court, and they are defending their actions, saying that while they were calling us dirty effing Arabs, they were saying that we were racially attacked, we were not doing anything. They're trying to claim their innocence. Now they're saying that everything started when they started calling us effing Arabs. And this is Haitham Farsak. This is what he told detectives on January 14th, according to statements filed with court papers at his arraignment Tuesday in Manhattan Supreme Court with one of the other five guys allegedly involved in the attack. Now, this group allegedly pummeled the out-of-towner, and that, of course, would be Kevin, with a bat, a tire iron, and a club to near death in the middle of McDougal Street. And this is as horrified onlookers watched. Now, prosecutors, they have at least five videos at this point of the attack. Now, four were from the businesses on McDougal Street, and that is including Artichoke Pizza, where Kevin and his gang were at having a bite. And one is from a cell phone camera, and we played that video, and that is the one where you hear the woman screaming in the background, "Oh, my God, stop, 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 you're killing him." That is the video that Jeff and myself played last month. Now, Farsak and his cohort, Sharif Risk, they pleaded not guilty to attempted murder, gang assault, attempted gang assault, and two counts of assault. "Officer, everything that I did was with my fists. I never used no weapon," Farsak also said, according to court papers, but the video, it shows otherwise. He previously told the Daily News he was just eating a falafel sandwich at Mamom's when a fight involving his friends broke out. "I'm trying to break it up, and I'm slapping them on the face. I'm like, wake up. You guys are drunk and expletive. Let's everybody go home." Yeah, sure he did. Risk also told cops in a written statement on January 15th that someone in the victims group was calling us effing dirty Arabs, and their group consists of at least 10 people, so we were outnumbered as well. Well, you know what, Risk, you're lying. How come only the white guy got the living crap beaten out of him if you were outnumbered? Now, both he and Mamab Habib claimed the victim, Kevin McCarron's crew, started the fight after they tried to defuse the tense situation. Yeah, and I'm not believing that either. What they heard was somebody bumped into one of the Arab guys, and the verbal abuse started, and the verbal abuse went back and forth to the point where somebody in Kevin McCarron's crew started shouting, "Get out of here, you dirty Arabs." That is when it escalated, and that is how Kevin McCarron had the living daylights beat out of him. That is how he ended up with a fractured skull, induced coma, and near death. Now, Farsa, he is free on $5,000 bail, and Risk is out on $15,000 bail. Their co-defendant, Mohammed Habib, he is out on $75,000 bail. So if you do not think that these charges are serious and that the judge thinks there is something seriously wrong with this, look at the bail. For Mohammed Habib, $75,000 he is out on bail. Like I say, they have all pleaded not guilty. And all three, they will face up to 25 years in prison. They are due back in court on April 16th. And there you go, Jeff. That is the update.
Well, as I say, of course they're going to swear blind. It was the other guy started it, blah, blah. They're trying to... It's all lies. We know the way they lie. And they're told to lie, aren't they, Kel? And I hope that justice is seen to be done. And if that's the case, they get 25 years each for what they've done. So be it. That guy did deserve to be kicked around the floor like a football. He did deserve that at all. And I'm just glad to hear that Kevin's is on the mend, and it's going to take him a little while, quite a while, to recover from the injuries that he sustained. Though, ladies and gentlemen,
exactly. And when you look at the charges, when you think about the charges levied against these attackers of Kevin, this is serious business. Of course, they're pleading not guilty, because if they plead guilty, they're at least looking at 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they get found guilty of it, then they're going to get, if they plead guilty, put their hands up for it, then they'll get lesser. But if they get found guilty, and it's the time and the trial, however long that the trial might take, you know that they're going to get, as you say, they get up 25 years in prison. So I hope justice is seen to be done with these people, because, as I say, that gentleman, Kevin, whatever was said or anybody bumping into anybody, it didn't deserve a person to be kicked around the floor like he was a football, like he was nobody. There was no need for that. They almost killed Kevin. Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen. if they had walked away and left him dead, they would have probably still been happy with that anyway. And today they'd be pleading still not guilty and still saying what they're trying to. We know that they're probably lying anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I just hope that justice is seen to be done with these people, because they deserve every year that they get inside for what they did. There was no need for that. You know, I spoke to you earlier on, didn't I, on Skype, girl? I said, it's an old saying, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's something that we got learned as kids, didn't we? It used to go to school.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I remember the good old days when, you had a verbal Donnybrooks, and you might even have a little fisticuff, but you know what? At the end of it, everybody stood up, they shook hands, and they went home. But not today, not in this day and age. It seems, these Arabs, they deliberately went back to their own vehicle and sought these weapons, and they grabbed the first guy they came across, and of course that was Kevin McCarron, and he wasn't even involved in this verbal altercation. He wasn't involved at all. He was just amongst the crowd. He was just with his buddies.
Yeah, he was just a person that they was going to take her. And I mean, I'd be under no illusions, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to your car and you get out different implements to use, you are meaning to cause someone, whoever it might be, serious harm, actual bodily harm, actually killing people. You pick, a tool, something for your car, as a car jack or something like that, up, and you batter someone with that, then basically you're trying to really cause them serious harm. So they was tooled up with intent to create the damage what they inflicted upon Kevin. But as I say, my thoughts, my prayers still go with Kevin and his family, and wish you a speedy recovery there, sir. And as I say, justice is seen to be done in this case, because it's quite sickening, wasn't it? When we listened to the video, you heard the lady in the background screaming, "Stop it, you're killing him." It was actually heartbreaking to hear. I was so scared of what these people were doing, what they was inflicting upon that guy lying on the floor there. But again, I'd like to thank you, girl.
You're more than welcome.
For updating that for tonight, for our listening audience out there. So, thanks again, Kel. So, something that we wanted to discuss on the show this evening. Any updates, anything we've been talking about before? We do keep a close eye on different stories that we've been covering, and any updates we do get from any other stories we talk about, we'll always be discussing on future shows, or shows like, say, tonight. So there you go. So, Kel, that's something we really, really wanted to talk about tonight. And
have so many things.
Oh, my goodness me. We've got a busy, busy night this evening. I'd like to also mention that we've got Mark listening in. Once again, Mark, I recognise the number there, but I didn't see your name inside there. But once again, I'd like to thank you for listening. Once again, to the East Anglian VDL Radio Show, it's always it's always great to know that you're listening in to the show this evening or this afternoon, wherever it might be. See you.
Could be anywhere.
You could be
there. Anywhere. You go. Oh boy, oh boy. Yeah, and like you say, yeah, it's a pretty full plate we have going on here tonight, don't we?
We most certainly do, Kel. As I say, something to say about the Cambridge demonstration yesterday, which I think was quite successful, even though it seems like the police were. They didn't do what they should do, you know. In fact, it was supposed to be a pub that was allocated to, you know, the members there, but that was closed down, so they didn't have nowhere that they could really congregate properly, you know,
right.
Getting warm a little bit of warmth. So of course, it was made to feel a little bit uncomfortable, but you know, as I say, it was still a successful demonstration, such democratic rights was heard. I mean, people were allowed to make their speeches, and and of course everything went quite smooth in that direction, apart from a bit of hassle from the police. So there you go, guys. I don't think we had any arrests at all on our side. It was everybody's quite sensible. No one cause any problems that was there.
I think they attempted arrest, but to no avail. It was a well organized static rally. Everybody was superb. It was a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, it wasn't there to disrupt anybody's going about their everyday business.
Nope.
We were there just to to make people aware. We was asked to go there. It was, it's part of our mission. You know, different venues that we go to, and that's one of the places that we was that was noted that we was going to demonstrate in, and we did. We went. We saw. We made our voices heard, and then we sort of got ourselves back on our coaches and cars and trains and. Went back home. So there you go. So I'd like to thank everybody yesterday that turned up. God bless you, brother and sister, patriots out there. You made us very proud for what you've done yourself. Just sorry that I couldn't be there with you yesterday. But as I've said earlier on in the show, I was a little bit poorly. So there you go. But done us proud once again, guys. That respect. Big thumbs up to you all. No surrender.
And there you go. But you're reporting it right here on the radio show, so everybody can hear how well it actually went. And there you go. In a way, I'm kind of selfish. I'm kind of glad you stayed home, but that's just me.
You know, as I say, ladies and gentlemen, like, I'm like a mother hen a little bit. If I know that like my division or the East Anglians are sort of in transit or on the road or in a demonstration, I'm nervous for them. I'm concerned about them because they're like my brothers and sisters. You know, we've got to know each other really. Most of us know each other. We see each other. It's like, you know, seeing the family. So of course, if you're not there, you do worry how things are going. And it's like back in the Falklands War, there's the saying. One of the commentators once says, "I counted them all out, and I counted them all back." And that's how we feel like, how it comes sometimes. We count them out, to the same and then we count them all when they're back unsafe. But that's the way I feel. Oh, I've got to talk about that now.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Oh,
though,
my goodness.
I told you that I spoke that before, didn't I? I said that before.
You're going to make me read that list. You know you're an Islamist when?
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Saint Mirka, we normally have a little chat before We have a pre-chat before we come and show different things that we're going to discuss on the show. We have a bit of humorous moments. And Kel, we was talking about it. Kel read it out to me. I said, you've got to read this on the show this evening. Our listeners will love this. So, Kel, with that, I'm going to pass it back to you because I know you want to read it. Go ahead.
Well, this is pretty funny. I came across this on my Infidels Are Watching Facebook page, and this was posted by Evelyn, and this is a list. You may be a radical Muslim if you refine heroin for a living, but you have a moral objection to beer. You own a $3,000 machine gun and a $5,000 rocket launcher, but you cannot afford a pair of shoes. You have more wives than teeth. You wipe your butt with your bare left hand, but consider bacon unclean? You think vests come in two styles, bulletproof and suicide. You can't think of anyone you haven't declared jihad against. You consider television dangerous, but routinely carry explosives in your clothing. You were amazed to discover that cell phones have uses other than setting off roadside bombs. You're often uttering the phrase, I love what you've done with your cave. You have nothing against women and think every man should own at least one. You bathe at least monthly, whether necessary or not. And finally, you may be a radical Muslim if you've ever had a crush on your neighbor's goat.
I can't help it. It's so funny.
Oh, I just came across that and I just couldn't stop grinning from ear to ear. I just thought that was so perfect.
if someone's out there, you find that a little bit offensive, maybe you'd like to call in.
Please call in and tell us you're offended. Please.
Yes,
we'd
yes,
love
please,
it.
Please do.
and we'll tell you why we don't care.
Yes, you see, ladies and gentlemen, we're not politically correct. As you might notice by now, we say what we feel about things. We speak about the things that, you know, the media wouldn't dare to speak about, but myself and Kel and other great show hosts, we say the way it is. Political correctness, what's that? Where we're concerned, political correctness does not exist, especially on this show. That's how we will speak the way we find. And if people find it offensive, well, too bad. You can go somewhere else if you find it offensive. Switch over to another radio show. You know what I'm saying? We'll
see
it as we find it, and that's something that this show has continued to do and will continue to do in the future as well, because it's got to be said. So there you go. So once again, Kel, I'm still stuck here. Thank you,
I thought you'd enjoy that one. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. Well, you know what? I mean, Jeff and I, we're no strangers to dissenters, as it were. I mean, for goodness sake, I swear one day, Jeff, you're going to be Skyping me with a bodyguard standing over you and vice versa with me. Did I tell you about the time Care Chicago decided that they wanted to follow me? Oh, that was fun.
Yes, I think he did mention that, actually. I remember vaguely saying something about that. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what I was up to. I was probably up to no good, as usual, when it comes to Islam.
No. What you was doing is speaking the truth about Islam. It's a trouble. When you speak out against Islam, you become a threat, and then you find that maybe you get a few death threats floating through your way, and all sorts of things happen because you speak out. You speak the truth, and of course these people don't like you to speak the truth, and but we can't help it, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much information that comes through on our news desk. Every day we've got stories. I was speaking to Kel earlier. We could have a show 24/7 speaking about some of the stories. We could cover every day, could be covered with what we what we get coming through on our desk every day, don't we? There's so much of it, it's coming through all the time. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'll get 200-300 emails of Islamic related issues. So that's daily, guys. That is daily. That is what I'm saying. You know, we could have a show going 24/7 just speaking about some of the issues of what we get on our desks, myself and Kel. But also, I'd like to do a quick promo for a couple of weeks. It's March the 17th. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in talks with Ivan, the East Anglia's division leader, and he set up with a lady from the Christian Defence League to come on the show on March 17th. So we will be promoting it over the next couple of next few shows.
Right.
So we're really looking forward to that. So that's the date, ladies and gentlemen, March the 17th. Don't miss the show. It's going to be, you know, a really good show. We're going to be discussing all the issues. If you've seen the
and just to let people know her name, I wrote down her information. Yep. She is the president of the Christian Defense League. Her name is Jan Rennie. And like Jeff says, mark your calendars for March 17th.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. And as I say, it's, as you see, it's a great blog, great Facebook page. These people, you know, really, I'm getting excited thinking about Jack coming on the show right some time. So I'd like to thank Ivan for being in chats and to all go, because not just you know, the Christian Defence League, but we're going to have some other, you know, great guests coming on in the future. So stay tuned with us for upcoming shows, because it's just going to get better and better as we go along. Speaking of
great,
we're coming.
You know what, though? I mean, we really do have to give Ivan huge kudos. He is very, very good at working behind the scenes. Like
he works tirelessly, Ivan. He works.
You know, he's like Poppy. Poppy works behind the scenes too. Like between Ivan and Poppy, I don't know. Like I just want to throw them both a big, huge bouquet of flowers because of all the work they do for this show behind the scenes, and they're kind of like unsung heroes.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Well, as I say, you know, we talk quite a bit, and I know he works tirelessly and always has done over the years I've known him. He's always in the background. He's in liaison with police. He's talking to police. He's a busy, busy man, and he still has time to, you know, to have a chat to a few people from our future guests to come on the show and that. As I say, he introduced me to Mr. Christopher Logan, and that was a great show that we had, a great interview with Christopher. Hopefully we'll have Christopher on future shows as well. So we told him that he could come on the show. It's an open invitation to come on. So if you're listening to that, Chris, any time, it's a great interview. So, you know, as I say, it's we've got some other great shows that I'm getting quite excited thinking about.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? We save that MP3. We save that 24-minute interview, and maybe next month we'll play it as an encore for everybody, because it was a fantastic interview. Hey, Jeff?
Yeah, it was a really interesting insight of how Christopher Logan, how he's portraying things in the U.S., and what he's seen, and the story that how he basically got involved with what he's done, he's been doing. So there you go, guys. So yes, we will have an encore of that interview. So yeah, we'll let you know, and you can tune in to that. So I'm just going to do this, Kel, because I haven't done it for a little while, but I just wanted to do this. Here you go.
Wait for payload delivery.
East Anglia EDL Radio. Join host Jeff and his co-host Kel, a.k.a. the Red Fox, as they update you on the ongoing battle against radical Islam in the UK and abroad. is East Anglian EDL Radio every Thursday, Friday, and Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern right here on Blog Talk Radio.
So there you go.
And we're coming down the road.
There you go, guys. So it's nice to have a little, just a little promo in between the little segments that that we do and the things we're discussing. We was talking earlier on, and I'm not sure when we're going to put this segment on. There could be some, I'll be able to have a couple of callers call in pretty soon, but we have got quite a few things that, little segments that we're going to play. I think Kel's got one with Michael Corran on George. Every time we call George Galloway, I keep laughing at him.
Oh, this is priceless. Yeah.
Yes. Georgie Porgy.
No.
Okay.
Oh, Georgie Porgy. Yep. The man who just keeps on giving. Or the Dimmy who keeps on giving, we should say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy. But thanks to
George
Tommy.
George Galloway.
When did we play that clip of him? Tommy sent that to us. I believe it was on Friday. Tommy English sent that to us. That link about George Galloway walking out of the debate.
I've actually seen
the debate because
of the YouTube clip as well. You get a chance to watch the YouTube clip, guys. It was hilarious. Everybody was roaring laughter when George Galloway walked out the building.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we have it all right here, up in one nifty little clip. And you just let me know when you want me to play that bad boy.
Kel, go ahead.
All right. Now, as everybody knows, Michael Corran of Sun TV, he is one of our heroes around here on the East Anglian CDL radio show. Michael Corran weighed in on Friday regarding George Galloway storming out of a debate he was invited to when he found out the person with whom he would be debating was an Israelite. He stormed out saying he does not debate with Israelis and he does not recognize Israel. Well, Michael Corran on his show had something to say about that. And here we go.
I mentioned, you may remember, at the beginning of the show, the Respect Party. what a strange name that is for this particular organization. George Galloway, a former Labour MP and a Respect Party MP, is an extremist, but a very well-known figure. He's often on British television. He's come over to North America many times, vehemently anti-Zionist, anti-Israel. Well, you may disagree with Israel. A young Muslim student, actually, organized a debate at the University of Oxford. This is what happened.
We wanted peace, we got war, we mustn't make the same mistake again. So my first point, only a peace treaty can provide a framework for enduring peace and security. I'm sorry, Mr. Galloway?
You said we, are you an Israeli?
I am, yes.
I don't debate with Israelis, I've been misled. Sorry.
I don't
recognize Israel, and I don't debate with Israelis.
I'm a human being.
It's entirely typical. By the way, George Galloway is from Dundee, I think, but he suddenly is an expert on the region. We're meant to take this man seriously. Have a look at these photographs now, please. Now, there he is, looking fairly serious outside the courts. Oh, there's George Galloway again! Any more of him? Let's see if we have any more. There's George Galloway dressed as a cat, pretending to be a cat with a British actress. And there he is, I think, drinking milk or cream. He's a very serious man. You know, the anti-Zionist movement is made up, is composed of highly sophisticated people. Lovely. Take care. God bless. Goodbye.
And, of course, that is Michael Corran, his program, The Arena. You can listen to him on Sun TV Canada. If you do not get Sun TV in your area, you can Sun TV. They have a YouTube channel. But for Michael Corran, this is for you. And George Galloway, you're an asshat. This is for you.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
And there you go.
George Galloway, isn't that? That's a salutation to that cretin who thinks that he's an authority on the Middle East. Well, yes, he might be a bit of an authority when dealings with Saddam Hussein, with his dodgy oil dealings, as we know he did, and about him trying to... sorry, Kel?
Or marrying Muslimas.
Yeah, well, the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, that he's tried to keep it very quiet for many years that he really is a Muslim. Well, there was a service, actually, back in 2002, 2003, where he took the Shahada, he became a Muslim, and he's denied it ever since. But it's a typical trait of what Muslims do, ladies and gentlemen. The bigger the lie, the better. If you confront him, he doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't. I mean, people try to catch him out so many times. He just denies it. And he tries to turn it on something. He starts there. There's a typical thing like most of these people do. He tries to spin it. He's insulting to you or maybe your family. It's a typical Islamic trait, ladies and gentlemen. And trait, I'd also like to say traitor, because George Galloway had been many years ago, the days of the high treason, would be one of those that have been on trial for high treason for his country. So there you go. So I had to follow a little bit. Yes, ladies and gentlemen,
absolutely.
We have traitors in our midst. We are surrounded by these traitors. But God willing, one day, they will be held accountable for their actions. History will portray them to exactly the type of people they really are. So that's what I've always said, I'll continue to say, it's the history books, the EDL history books will portray these people as well. Because there will be history books about EDL. We are relating to history, ladies and gentlemen. Starting off a few people, we've got global support, people have listened to our call, listened to what we have to say. What were our missions, the different demos we're on, the things that the EDL's doing, pushing forward, different things. So that's what we will continue to do for people, good people like you, ladies and gentlemen, listeners out there, because you want to hear what we're doing. And when you tune into the East Anglian's EDL radio show, I guarantee you guys, we will tell you exactly what's going on. We don't hold back. We're not politically correct in what we do either, so there you go. But thank you once again for that clip, Kel. Got a big smile on my face.
More than welcome. More than welcome. And Holger just posted George Galloway and his new wife, and it kind of quickly jumps to Google, but click on it, and there's George Galloway and all his finery, and that's him in his cat suit and his red leotard. And that's actually what Michael Corrin was referring to when he said, oh, look at him. He's a serious guy, and he's in his leotard with all his junk hanging out.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Holger hurt my eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering what we're laughing at, I've just had to look in the chat room and
yeah.
The comments, that is quite funny. But that's going a lot. Thank everybody who's in the chat this evening. We've got a very busy chat room this evening, Gail. I was wondering, because I do know that other people, there's quite some busy people, that they come and they go. So I was wondering if we'd maybe like to do a quick rundown on the show for this time of the evening. Gail, Ross, everybody's there. Yeah, we're giving them attention. Thank you, Gail.
My absolute pleasure. Absolute. Well, first of all, there is you and me, and that is Jeff and Cal. We have Adam GB, who just joined us. We have Cass777. We have Frank GA, who is joining us. We have a few guests in the room, and welcome guests. We have Holger Awakens, and he has his own Blog Talk Radio program right here, Saturday evenings, 11 p.m., and he has a blog, The Awakening, and that's also the name of Holger's show, The Awakening. We have James Trowbridge, who is joining us, and Jim Bamford also is joining us. We have Luchadora 41, and she is the co-host on MP91 Freedom Quest. That is the Radio Jihad Network. You can hear Lucha and Eliza Jane Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We have our field correspondent, and that, of course, is our Poppy, who is, like I say, works behind the scenes and never slows down. We have Smokey in Texas with us, and Smokey just started a brand new blog, and I want to give honorable mention. Smokey is a regular contributor to Minnesota Girl. Her program is heard here on Blog Talk Radio, usually 9 p.m. Monday to Friday, Smokey. Smokey is one of the guest hosts over there at the Minso's show. So listen to his dulcet tones over there. We have Steve English with us, who is one of the EDL division leaders. We have Sue from New Mexico, who is a tireless patriot of the United States of America. Sue, it is wonderful to have you here. And we have Will Scott, who is also joining us. And, of course, we also have Tommy English, and he is also a division leader with the East Anglians, with the EGL. Oh, boy, I hope I didn't miss everybody. Anybody?
No, I think you've done a good job. Yeah, to everybody. I say we've got some good people who sit in the chat room, got their own shows. God bless you guys. Great shows. Some of the shows that Kev was talking about, absolutely superb. If you're pretty new to Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen, it's the place to be. Some absolutely superb radio shows and superb hosts out there. Big thumbs up to them all because they work tirelessly to bring you great shows. So if you just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, you won't go away because I'll tell you what, there's so many great shows on different things that people talk about, different shows. It's absolutely fantastic. It's a great thing. It's probably one of the best things that I've ever come across before. Which I come across it many years ago. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. But as I say, Blog Talk Radio, and of course the East Anglians EDL Radio Show has really been able to push out to you, the great listening audience out there, who've been tuning in week in, week out to listen to our shows. I thank you all for that as well. And of course, I'm going to say I'm giving a wave to Jim as well, Jim Bamford. Pleasure to see you in the room this evening as well, brother. Always a pleasure. To all the EDL leaders there. God bless you guys. They work tirelessly, believe it or not. They're always in the background doing things.
Yeah, I just want to run down the chat room very quickly because I did miss a few people. I wanted to just reiterate who is joining us tonight in the chat room. That is Adam GB, Cass, Frank GA. We have a couple of guests, Holger Awakens, James Trowbridge, Jim Bamford, Luchadora, Poppy, Smokey in Texas, Steve English, Sue from New Mexico, and Will Scott, and, of course, Tommy of No Surrender Ever, Tommy English.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, our listeners out there, I think, all those people, but it's true. As I say tonight, we have got a very, very busy chat room, and it's always good to see. I look in, and sometimes I'm listening to I'm in the studio, and then I'll click over to the chat to see what's going on, and it's buzzing. It's always rolling. The text right, and it's always great to see so many great people sitting in the chat room, isn't it, Cal? So thank you all. But as I say,
it is.
As I say, ladies and gentlemen, the things that we've been discussing tonight, please don't be shy. If you feel there's something you want to discuss, as I say, there is the Skype button. If you walked up to Skype, right click on the Skype button, and then just follow the prompts. And then just sort of watch your hand up or raise your hand, and then we'll bring you onto the show. But if you're outside the US, the number to call in is 001. Oh, what am I talking about? 001. Oh, my goodness me. What am I like?
You're responding.
Oh, what am I like?
Ladies and gentlemen, he was respecting his own phone number.
Oh, my, that's the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize.
Hey. Call Jeff 4 o'clock in the morning, everyone.
Now, I'm going to recite that number again. Just forget that number, ladies and gentlemen.
What you like.
Forget that number, guys. The number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. Repeat 001-858-777-5934. What was I thinking?
Oh, you're okay. Going to wonder why your inbox is going to be so full now.
But I didn't read it all out, though, did I, Kel? I could have done.
Oh, my goodness. That is the biggest belly laugh I've had in a while.
Yeah, listening audience out there. We're human. We make mistakes. Oh, I nearly made a big boo-boo.
Oh, for goodness sake.
It's not
I'm
a
telling you. That was that priceless.
Kel, this
That's
is not
going
a
in the blooper reel. I'm sorry. I'm saving this episode.
Oh, dear. But there you go. Priceless, as they say. Priceless, as I say. This is not a repeat. I say this is not a repeat.
Oh, you know what? Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, man, oh, man. But, yes. Oh, Tommy's thing. The number is 1234567777.
Oh, did you know, Kel, what I was going to do, because I did promise I was going to do it last time, especially for Kath, I was going to play a tune, actually, tonight, because I missed it. Kath, she's probably listening to the archive thinking, where's my tune? Because I was supposed to have played this the other day on the other show, and it totally slipped my mind because we were discussing things. But I'm going to do it now, Kath. I hadn't forgotten. I felt really bad after the show. Oh, no, I forgot to play this tune, which is absolutely a beautiful tune. It's a bit like a calling, really. It's something that I've always loved. I know Kath loves it, and anybody's tuning in, you've never heard this tune, this is Celtic Woman, this is called The Voice. We just love this tune, don't we, Kel? So, Kath?
Oh, yeah, this absolutely.
As well, because I'm sorry about that. Oh, show. So here we go, The Voice, Celtic Woman.
I hear you call out.
voice by Celtic Woman. Absolutely superb. And we've got some jokers in the in the chat room, which I was roaring with laughter. Different things have been said, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a fantastic chat. I've got to admit, it's really funny. You can't help but laugh. And what's being said, especially Tom, what you like? What's he like, Kel? Can you see what he's
what's
been
he like? Oh, that's my boy.
But Tom, we'll get to you in a minute, son. I see he's got his hand up there, Kel. But there is something that we want to discuss before we take a call. Kel was just teeing it up, and this is quite an important issue that we want to discuss. So with that, Kel, I'll pass it over to you.
Go. Oh, thank you, Jeff. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, this involves the Birmingham Four. These are the bomb plotters. Now, no one in the Birmingham bomb plotters' own community, nobody tipped off. pardon me. Nobody tipped off the police that they're with concerns, despite the fact that this Islamic community knew that they were sending young men to terror training camps in Pakistan. Three Birmingham men, they were found guilty of planning a massive terrorist bomb attack, while a further six had previously admitted their involvement in the plans. But at no point during the 18-month investigation by the West Midlands Counterterrorism Unit did anyone in Birmingham's Muslim community inform on the behavior of Irfan Nasir, Irfan Khalid, and Ashik Ali, and another, raising questions over the health of relations between police officers and community leaders. This was despite the fact that the families of the four other young men recruited from Spark Hill all intervened to bring them back home the moment they found out the real reason for them traveling to Pakistan. Detective Inspector Adam Goh, he is the senior investigating officer, said the extended families of the four men had become aware of why they went to Pakistan, but in any case did not tell us, quote, unquote. Ishak Hussain, Shahid Khan, Kohaib Hussain, Nawid Ali, they were told to tell loved ones they were studying at madrasas, if asked. Police and security services were aware the four were traveling, but decided against stopping them to preserve the surveillance operation and because evidence gathering was in the early stages. According to detectives, none of the men received any terror training as they left the camps after a day. Mr. Goh said, "We know pressure was applied to them to come back." Shahid Khan virtually ran home. Three of the four came back almost immediately, while the fourth stayed with his family in Pakistan. We know that they did reach a training camp. But is it a success story in that the families did bring these people back and shows the vast majority of the community abhor terrorism in the same way we do, but they were still not speaking within the wider community? Community engagement under what the police call the PREVENT program is supposed to form a cornerstone of the UK counterterrorism policing strategy. PREVENT aims to respond to the ideological challenges of terrorism by developing partnerships with communities, thereby preventing people from being drawn into terrorism. Assistant Chief Constable Marcus Beale, who is responsible for counterterrorism at West Midlands Police, said the families were trying to do their best to get them back and stop them getting into trouble rather than get in touch with us. I agree, it would have been a really good move if more could have been shared with us, and we have dealt with it in a different way. In terms of community engagement, would I like them to come forward more? Yes, I would. Do I think the Muslim community were being disruptive? No, I do not. Mr. Beale also said he believed the two local charitable organizations on whose behalf the three men had masqueraded to raise money were duped rather than being complicit. And there's your Demi showing through, ladies and gentlemen. He added, "We want to help make sure these charities are not quite so easily duped in the future. Well, then just shut them down, Mr. Beal, and that is Cal interjecting here.
Yeah.
Some of that money scammed from charities was actually gambled away by another member of the group, Rahin Ahmed, who was given the task of playing the financial markets to try to increase the group's cash revenues. He previously admitted engaging in conduct in preparations of acts of terror, encouraging acts of terror, collecting money for terrorism, and assisting other travels for training in terrorism. On one occasion, Ahmed, an unemployed law graduate who was a community worker with one of the charities, he lost 3,000 pounds when he left his computer screen for 5 minutes to boil a kettle. He tried to recover some of his losses, but in total, he lost £9,000 of the 14,500 pounds that he invested. This was a tip-off for the police that there was something very odd going on. There was talk in the group of acquiring a shop as a front for a bomb factory at the back of the premises, but Ahmed, too, he had lost too much money and the idea had to be dropped. Mr. Beal said the police do not know how much money the group collected and where that money actually ended up. At one point under surveillance, discussing 7-7, they were wondering why the devastation was not worse than what it actually was, and one mused that he forgot to put nails on his body to make sure that the devastation was more than what it actually was on 7-7. Now we have a clip here, and this is a clip of the silence within the Muslim community. Although they are trying to defend the Muslim community by saying that they were trying to bring these young men home, they still did not defer to the authorities. They still did not defer to the wider public in exposing who these people were. And here is the clip of that.
This is the moment a lethal bombing campaign was stopped in its tracks. Detectives moved in to arrest three men on the streets of Birmingham, the city where they'd been born and raised, men who'd become terrorists and openly admired the carnage caused by the 7-7 attacks in London. Ashiq Ali was the first suspect to be led from the car. Immediately behind him, Irfan Khalid, and finally, their accomplice, Irfan Nasir, who was driving. Their ambition was to inflict even more harm with a series of suicide bombs packed with nails. They'd already got to the stage where they were experimenting with chemicals in this ground floor flat in the Sparkhill district when police decided it was dangerous to allow them to continue. To fund their training trips to Pakistan, they posed as bogus charity workers, ripping off their own community by raising money during Ramadan.
Had it happened, it would have been, you know, in the words of the defendants themselves, another 9/11, another 7-7. I wouldn't like to estimate how many people would have been killed, but it's obviously a massive, massive plot.
This partially burnt piece of paper contained the bomb formula, with key elements obscured. They tried to recreate the bombs they'd been taught to make in Pakistan, using urea found in a sports injury pack and directed by Irfan Nasir, a pharmacy graduate. The jury was told they would eventually have succeeded. They fitted blackout blinds to the ground floor flat here, but they didn't realise that an audio bug had been put inside by police who were listening to them. As they experimented with the chemicals, they were overheard talking about 7 or 8 different bombs that they wanted to make, which they would put in different places but fit with timers so that they exploded simultaneously. The plotters spoke of being taken to Waziristan, where the Pakistani army is still fighting a battle against the militants. They spent a total of 15 months abroad. At one time, they were taken to a camp and shown how to place and test explosives in the ground. When Nasir and Khalid arrived back at Birmingham Airport after a second lengthy stay in Pakistan in 2011, they were ready to put their lessons into action. Discussing the 7-7 bombs, which had killed 52 people, one of them said did it go wrong or something? It didn't do that much damage. Nazir replies, you know what? They forgot to put the nails and stuff in, man. No target or timetable was ever fixed, but today the judge said these were thoroughly radicalized men who should expect to receive life sentences.
Now, Julia, the security services are completely convinced that this was a serious plot, aren't they?
Absolutely. There is a temptation to see these men as a bit of a joke, rather dim and perhaps not capable. But the judge agreed with the detectives that that was not the case, that they had the knowledge and the determination to put their warped dreams into practice. And this disruptive practice, as they call it, going in and making early arrests, is the way they'd like to do it at the moment. They see an advantage in going in as soon as they have enough evidence to get a conviction in court, as they did here, rather than waiting until perhaps they have something that looks like a real bomb. It removes the would-be bomber from the street. It stops the need for a costly surveillance operation. And they will see this operation as a great success. Unlike the 7-7 bombers, who had been on the security services radar but were allowed to slip through the net, in this case, they found them in Pakistan. They stuck on them. They tracked them right through to today's guilty verdict.
Well, there you go.
And there you go.
Very interesting. But it just goes to show you that even so, there's lots of money being spent on these organisations to try to get these communities to expose these Islamists. But it still seems like they've got a big job to do. Seems like they're still... there's not too many of them willing to come forward and to actually mention about it. There might be a couple of families that mention that, but that's the trouble. This is it. This money that's been really squandered away. You see, you get people complaining how much it costs for the policing of when we do our demonstrations. Well, you know, how much it costs the taxpayer. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, the money that they spend on this, trying to get these people to speak out against, you know, maybe these Islamists, the radicalisation of these people, it doesn't seem to be paying off that well. It seems to be money that's been spent willy-nilly, you know, and it's quite a few, I'm not sure exactly, I haven't got the figures in front of me, but it's a lot of money. It's just, you know, what they spend on, you know, taxpayers' money for maybe policing, say, an EDL demonstration. It's just like a pinprick in the ocean to what's being spent trying to basically to expose these radicals, or to try to prevent these radicals or these people from being radicalised. That is the issue that we've got now. That's just something else I just wanted to clarify. With you, the great listening audience out there. But once again, Kel, thank you so much for bringing that, highlighting that that story tonight on the show. So that's very interesting.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Yes, it is. And like I say, I mean, you're right. And you bring up the EDL, and they are infiltrating. They even tried to... like you were saying there, Jeff, what they were trying to do with the EDL and trying to bring physical harm to members of the English Defense League, they're ruthless. They're out there. They're not slowing down. I do not know what's going on. And people are asking in the chat room, what is going on with us? Why is this going? How come this is not slowing down? It just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, it's the whole idea of Islam, isn't it? This is the plan, isn't it? You know, to create the insecurity, to get people... it's the act of terrorism. As people start to get bit, they think people are going to start panicking at that. But, of course, what they're doing is stepping up what they're doing. As you say, if it wasn't... well, the police didn't know. They stopped the car, actually. It was... so they say... that it was on its way to a demonstration, and they was going to use the car as an IED. They had a bomb in the car. They had shotguns in the car. They had machetes in the car, and it was all to cause harm to, you know, the members of the EDL. So this is the people that we talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, as we said before, as Tommy Robinson has said before, that we're not going up against some Mickey Mouse outfit. These people are ruthless, and they will stop at nothing. Nothing will stop these people to bring about mayhem, destruction, death, because it is just the way they are, you know. But thank goodness. But the police didn't know that they had actually impounded a car with explosives. It's only when they started to look through the following day that they realised what they'd come across. So they had to do a quick wind forward, and arrest these people, because they didn't know if there was maybe that these people have got some other devices. So they had to act really quick, just in case that there was another, plan B will go into action. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, that's the type of people that we are up against, ruthless. They don't want you to speak out against Islam. They don't want Islam to be exposed day in, day out of what it is. It's only themselves that these stories come about. We just present stories to our listeners, don't we, Kel? That's all we do, is we present stories. They're creating problems out there. They're causing worldwide, as I've said before, we'll say it again, 75% of the problems that we've got in the world is Islamist related. Muslim related, whatever you want to call it, ladies and gentlemen, but that is the case. That is the cold light of the day, the statistics, 75% of the problems that we got. So there you go, guys. That is what we're here for. This is what we speak about. We will continue to speak, and we will not be silenced. Anyway, I just wanted to sort of, add some little bit more to the story that we was just discussing there, Kel.
Yeah.
I see Tom's been waiting very, very patiently. He's a good lad. He's been sitting there for about 19 minutes, Kel. So, Tom.
How long has that lad been sitting there? Tommy, he's been sitting there.
Almost 20 minutes. But once again, Tom, it's always a pleasure. Tom is He's the leader of the of his division up north there. So, Tom, once again, welcome on the show, brother. Go ahead.
Sorry, you just made me laugh then. Tommy is the leader of his division.
Well, the...
that doesn't really help. Tell us what division you're leader of, Tommy. Yes, that would help.
LGBT.
There you go.
Tommy is the division of his division leader.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit confusing.
But, yeah, I didn't know how to
learn English.
Expand a bit, a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, I'm going to put myself on mute. Anyway, hi, Tommy.
Hiya, Kel. Did you get our video message then, Kel, on Friday?
I sure did. I got it on Skype yesterday afternoon. You are adorable. And please tell your friends I really enjoyed that.
It was Steve's idea, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Steve. That's wonderful. That was a wonderful video on message.
We actually spoke to Jeff before we called Jim, and he had a slice of pizza and all. Didn't you, Jeff?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you might wonder what we'll be talking about, but Friday evening. We just finished the show, and it's like it's just winding down, and I was getting ready to go to bed because I was going to be up early in the morning for the Cambridge demo. But as you know, unforeseen, I've got out with my health issues. But Tom actually, he was out with the lads. He was out with Steve. Who's in sitting in the chat room this evening, Steve English, and of course he was out with our dear friend Alex, and they'd been enjoying themselves, got themselves a pizza, and enjoying the evening, and he called me on Skype. and he asked me if I wanted to share the pizza.
And you had a can of Carlsberg.
There you go. My rum and, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a rum coke drinker normally, but
it's a bit fun,
wasn't it? It's good to see Steve. Of course, also blessing to see Steve, and it was great to see Alex as well. He's looking well. Both are looking well. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So,
I've got some news for you, but because I tuned in later on, I don't know if you brought it up already about that little lad called Aaron who was 9 years old. Don't know if you've heard about him, have you?
Yes, that little lad that hanged himself.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I think actually, she's got a clip. We was going to discuss that, wasn't we, Carol? In the show this evening.
Yeah, that's right. Jeff and I were discussing this earlier. This is a very, very tragic story. This little boy, Tommy, this is so sad. This is from the East Anglians Division people. Aaron Dugmore, he died in hospital after his mother, Kelly Marie, found him hanged at their Birmingham home earlier this month. He had been being bullied by what they call, quote, unquote, Asian kids. We know that they were Muslim kids. He was new to this school. He seemed to be adjusting quite nicely to this school, but the Islamic kids just wouldn't leave him alone. They would tease him for being white. They would say that you're a white kid, and one kid even said to him, "My dad says all white people should be dead." The bullying went on, and it went on. He could not deal with it any longer, like I say. And like Tommy is saying, and Jeff is saying, he succumbed to his torturers. He succumbed to the bullying by hanging himself in his closet.
He's now Britain's youngest person to have committed suicide.
Yeah, it's absolutely tragic. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we talk about. You can hear the racist remarks that these Muslims were speaking to this young lad, new to the school, being bullied relentlessly. It was so bad that he decided, because his life was so miserable, that he would take his own life. This is the tragedy of some of these cases, and we will not forget this young, very young lad, basically still a little lad who was at a new school, hoping to make friends, and what he found was totally, you know, people being racist. Because when you call someone white, you know, and all my dad said, "You're all white should be dead," ladies and gentlemen, that is a racist remark. I don't care what colour they are, but they're making racist remarks to a young kid that was feeling pretty vulnerable. They probably ganged up on him. But this is the case, ladies and gentlemen. This is an absolute tragedy. So what can we say? But these things do happen.
It's absolutely horrible for a 9-year-old to even think about suicide, really. I've got it up in front of me. It says here, he was even threatened with a plastic knife by one of them, and when Aaron tried to stand up for himself, this Asian kid said to him, "Next time it'll be a real one."
Yeah, so as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, this little lad who tried to defend himself had been threatened that someone would probably kill him. I mean, he was frightened. He was a frightened lad. He was there trying to defend himself, but the odds were against him. He's probably surrounded by these Muslims who's threatening all sorts. Just because he was white.
When you see his picture, you see all that innocence in his face, and he's got his whole life ahead of him. Because of these bloody Muslims, right, who were taunting him because he's white and all that, threatening him with plastic knives. And
We won't let him be forgotten.
I can predict a future demonstration for this little lad. I really can.
I I agree.
I hope Ofsted, Jeff. I hope Ofsted really put down them. Go on, Kel.
You know what breaks my heart? Is that this school, it caters to 450 pupils between the ages of 3 and 11. It had received an inadequate rating by Ofsted inspectors last year. Nothing was being done about this school. Nothing was being done about this child's complaints. Nothing was being done to help this young lad. Nothing at all.
But the thing about schools these days, it's all the same, you know. Oh, if you've been bullied, just, you know, tell us and we'll sort it out. My old school, guys, is now being knocked down because it's got the worst GCSE grades, the worst bullying rates in the Northeast. We must have had about 5 people take their lives in my school because they just were being bullied. That's why I always say to you, if I saw someone being bullied in my school, I was on them. Because this is just a prime example, because when at my school, it was, 13, 14, 15, 16. This is a 9-year-old lad who's took his own life.
He has his own life ahead of him. And
to think that
his life was, you know, that he couldn't go on his life because of what's going on. It drove him to do what he did. It's totally heartbreaking. My thoughts, my prayers go out to his family. I really feel for your loss like we all do. We mourn for your loss as well, and we won't let your son's death go unanswered. Possibly down the lines we might even have a demonstration. This is not right. This should not happen.
No, it's not right at all. And I'm sorry, but his name was Aaron Dugmore. His parents' name are Kelly Marie and Paul.
Let's not forget the family in their mourning, and let's not forget why this young lad was driven to do what he did. Simply because he was scared. He thought that, you know, he couldn't see no way out. To be actually driven to do something like that is a total tragedy, and something that we must continue to stand up against these people who do these sort of things. The bullying got stamped down on these people. This should not be allowed. Children should be allowed to go about their doing their school, you know, the education, doing the things that all kids do without fear of threats, intimidation, of what's been called the racist remarks. It should not be allowed. You know, they say that it's only racist if it's white saying something about some colour kid or an Asian kid. That's racist. But what about these Muslims who are speaking out against this poor little white kiddie? You know, it doesn't race work both ways. If you're a racist, doesn't it work both ways? Let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, in Islam, don't forget that their prophet Muhammad was one of the biggest racists going. He called coloured people pug nose raisin heads. That was their prophet. That's what he called them. He had 2 black slaves as his what he had there. And so, you know, when you hear them being racist as they are, this just comes from their prophet. So what do we expect when they're being taught? They say they look towards their prophet as being, you know, who they should lead from. And when he's calling people like pug nose raisin heads, colour people, that is the type of people, you know, which you're going to get. What you're going to get, you're going to get people calling, white children names, and my dad would like to kill all white people. Come on, guys. This is racist. Racist works both ways.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you something. This is a pure example of Islamic indoctrination in Muslim kids. If they're saying, "Oh, my dad thinks all whites should die" and all that, that is pure indoctrination. That.
Yeah, it most certainly is. It most certainly is. And I hope there are people out there who are listening to what we say. You know, who have got maybe a little bit of power, a bit of authority. about time you done something about these things. This should not be allowed to go on. And if you don't speak out against it ourselves, the English Defence League, we will make sure that young children like Aaron, who lost his life in that most tragic way as he did, being driven to do what he done, we won't let this be forgot. So, you know, it's up to you, because you don't want to, you won't speak out. We will. We won't let that little lad, Steph, go unanswered. So, there you go.
Yeah, I've just put on my Facebook, World Justice for Aaron Dugmore.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that, Tom. What I was going to do, it's a little bit different. I want to play a tune. I'm feeling a little bit sad from what I've just heard, but also, I'm thinking about our soldiers. So it was over in Afghanistan, and our allies who were there, and there's a song that's been going through my head over the last half an hour, and we haven't played it for a while, and this is Soldier's Cry by Roland Majou. And I just think sometimes there's a time that, you know, we should play these tunes. And my thoughts and my prayers, I say, I'm thinking of that young lad, but at the same time, I'm thinking about our soldiers who's overseas at this moment in time. So, if you enjoy this tune, guys.
Talk of trouble is sent through the country, and we need an army to fight for the rights. Young men enlist and are sent to the battle to fight the offender and help our allies. And the young men cry for the kingdom. We'll gladly go and fight for thee. And the young men cry for the kingdom. We'll fight to keep you free. The battle's raging, gunfire is blazing. A tired young soldier is clinging to life. He's ordered on and obeys by advancing, no hope of returning from the enemy fire. And the soldier cries for the kingdom. If it must be so, I'll die for thee. And the soldier cries for the kingdom. I'll die to keep you free. And we all miss the kingdom, the land where we all used to be. And we all long for the kingdom, united, strong and free. If it must be so, I'll die for thee. And the soldier cries for the kingdom. I'll die to keep you free. Far away we have seen a great danger, and yet there's a danger much greater within. The noise we make as we constantly bicker would hush not a whisper if we listen to hear. All the thousands cry for the kingdom. Is that why we have died for thee? And the soldiers cry for the kingdom. We died keep you free. And the soldier cries for the kingdom. Be true and strong for me.
Soldiers Cry by Roland. May you. As I say, it was just as I was talking about that that young lad, I was thinking about our soldiers, our allies, who's out in Afghanistan as well. So I thought we had played it for a little while, and I thought we'll play it. But yeah, it's a pretty sad story, though. We discussed it a minute ago, though, wasn't it, Carol?
It's very, very sad, yeah.
On the good news, Iggy's just walked in.
Hey, Iggy, Mum. It's a pleasure to see you, as usual. But now, as I say, well, my goodness me, Carol, the time has just flown by this evening, hasn't it? I thought everyone's going to be calling in tonight, but never mind, I say. It's quite a successful day yesterday in Cambridge. Next week, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, there is the demonstration in Manchester.
I'm sorry, I just noticed Iggy walked in the room. I'm sorry. I'm kind of running the gamut of emotions right here, but seeing Iggy... Jeff, I was telling you why I would start giggling if I saw Iggy today.
Yes, you said you could start giggling.
I'm sorry. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, A12 Iggy Mom, welcome to the chat room. Iggy is co-host on Halls of Valhalla, and the segment is called Spin This, and that's Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And I was listening to the show at the beginning, and then I was called away. So last night, I picked up the rest of the show to listen to in archive, and they're crazy over there. That's all I can say. They have a field correspondent named Wahhabi, and he's from a sponge estan. and he was on the show last night, or Tuesday night rather, and I'm listening to it last night, and I'm sorry, I had to keep rewinding it. Iggy, you're nuts.
Well, that's that's
I'm
funny.
Sorry, I knew if I saw Iggy today, I knew I would just crack up. I'm so sorry. And maybe it's a little bit of a comic relief because, yeah, like we've been relating such rotten news all day long. But to see Iggy come in and to make me, to trigger that for me, that's probably just what the doctor ordered. Hey, hey, Jeff and Tommy?
Oh, certainly. I agree. Okay. Seems like you have a lot of fun over there, Iggy. Mum. Wahhabi forward. Sponge is done.
Wahhabi forward. That's his name. Wahhabi forward from Spongistan. Because they sponge off us and we
exactly.
stand for it. And you know what, Iggy? Oh, she is so right. We do. We put up with so much crap from these spongers from the Middle East.
How long are we going to put up with it? Ladies and gentlemen, how long are we going to stand for these people that come onto our shores or been allowed by our dignified governments and allowed to sponge off of our nation, allowed to go about their business in trying to create Sharia laws, going quietly in the background, building explosives to try to kill the main people. How long have we got to stand by and watch this game before we say enough's enough? Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the English Defence League, and we've been talking about these issues for quite a few years now, coming on for 4 years. You know, these are the issues that we've been discussing. We say enough's enough. Fed up with these politicians not doing their job, leaving it up to us to go out there on the streets to stand and speak against these people because they're too scared to do what we do. but we continue to do it because there is nobody else. How can we rely on these politicians? They're too scared to speak out what we speak on this show, on other great shows. It's people like us who's leading the fight. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it said a while ago that this country is leading the world in the fight against these Islamists, and that is the case. But the world is listening. We have got global support. People have woken up from their slumbers and are standing up saying, what can we do? What can we do? Well, just being aware of what's going on and trying to do something. Now, you stood up with us, and we will take the fight forward, because if we don't, these people continue to do as they've been continued to do over the last few years. Well, you know, as I said, enough's enough, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to get a little bit proactive. But, you know, join with us. Join with the fight with what we're doing. Because, you know, don't expect the politicians to. Don't, yes, the odds might be against you because, you know, you've got the commies, you've got the far right against, making threats against their life. You've got the Muslims who's threatening the just bombers and this, that, and that. But you know what? It doesn't stop us doing what we do. We know what we're doing is right. It's good. It's a noble cause that we stand for, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And just to let you know, you are down to 7 minutes. But before we wrap it up, I want to plug something, and this is from Luchadora and her show with Eliza Jane, and that is MP91 Freedom Quest, heard here on Radio Jihad Network on Blog Talk Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Please try to be at their program this week. Their special guest is David Gobes, and he is the author of The Muslim Mafia. So please try to be at MP91 Freedom Quest Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Well, there you go. A great show. Please tune in, ladies and gentlemen. Because, as I say, it's people like ourselves and people like you and many other great show hosts who are doing exactly what we do. We are leading the fight. We are the true freedom fighters. Freedom, democracy is what we will stand for. Anyway, I'd like to thank everybody. Tommy, for calling in tonight. Well, it's always a pleasure to hear you. And, of course, to Kel for co-hosting on the show this evening. Great job. Clips, things that Kel does in the background. Well, she works tirelessly for the Extended India Radio Show. For everybody that's been in the chat room tonight, I've got to put a big thumbs up to Jim Bamford. It was good to see you. Thank you for coming into the chat room this evening. It's always great to see you. And, of course, to all of our great guests sitting in the chat room, God bless you guys. Thank you for supporting East Anglia's EDL Radio Show. And, of course, not forgetting you, our great listening audience out there, you know, who listen to us in the archives, and that, not forgetting the archives. We do really, really appreciate you being, you know, following our journey with what we're doing, you know, and just being with us on our journey. So, for myself and say from Kel, aka the Red Fox, with our own great show on Tuesdays and Fridays. That's right, Tuesday and Fridays, Kel, isn't it? Let me see. Mm-hmm. The time is 8 o'clock GMT. It's 1 o'clock Eastern Central Time. Great show. She had some great guests on last week. She had a great guest on there. Great guest.
Oh, yeah. If you guys want to go to the Red Fox and listen to my show from Friday, you will hear a very, very nervous and excited Kel interviewing Ava Aston, who was my guest on Friday evening. It was absolutely fantastic, and once I got over the stiffness and got into it, it was a wonderful show. So please, you'll have a chance to listen. Yeah.
So, as I say, great show. Please listen to the archive of Kel, because it was a great show. So once again, I'd like to say thank you all. God bless you. You take care. You stay safe. And not forgetting, guys, no surrender. No surrender ever. Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
People might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I got. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see that point. Things happening here today, a show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course I don't mind. My new deal attempts to start from its prime. Then the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your facts. You see, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't waste your time. The lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper, rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Gentlemen, we're just going into archives about now. There you go, Bush. I'm getting good at this, Kel.
Right
there. Thanks for the line.
There you go.
So, I was to say it was a great show this evening. Things we had to talk about that did really make me feel really, really sad. At the same time, I think we had to show very well this evening, Kel. So, sometimes I think, so come on, just slow down a bit. You're rambling on. I'm not going to roll.
You, Jeff, how many times do I have to tell you? You never ramble. You're an orator.
I love it. You know, I seem to get on one and I just can't stop. It's like, you know, it's... I've been wound up, someone winds me up and just says, go on, there you go.
You know what? You still make me laugh about that time when you said that. Oh, goodness me, I'm rambling on. I'm probably interrupting the listeners. And it's like, yeah, Jeff, you're on radio show. Yeah, you're talking too much, Jeff. Oh, that still cracks me up.
Sometimes I just think, well, I'm not... Am I over-talking? I don't want to sort of bore people to tears, or I don't want people falling asleep. And you know,
no, that never happens. No worries there.
Well,
absolutely none.
The thing about it tonight, Kel, is, and of course to our listeners out there who's listening in the archive, tonight, thank goodness I didn't have to actually, I used my Skype tonight. And it's been, as Kel said, it was perfect. And it's nice to be able to use the proper setup. You know, that's what I used to be able to use, and it seemed for a little while it was messing about and that. And basically, there was something that I had to do, and I didn't realise there was something I had to do with my tools to go to open up the thing to dial into it properly. And once I sorted that out, I just like using my Skype because it saves holding a phone to your ear. It makes your ear ache after a little while, doesn't it?
Well, tell me about it, because you know what? I'm still using my landline because I don't trust my Skype. I am still very, very, very... I was once bitten, twice shy, when I was using my Skype on Red Fox one night, and I realized that... well, I didn't realize until 17 minutes later that the audience was getting nothing but silence.
But then again, come on, Kel. We was, you know, at the beginning, it was like... It was only like maybe... third show, whatever, you know, the new girl on the block was the same as myself. I mean, don't forget when I started, if we didn't have no music. We didn't have no music.
I think, that's right, true, because the second time it happened, at least I had the fortitude to put a song on. That's right, Jeff.
I couldn't remember how to, I couldn't think how to play the show. Oh my goodness, man, right at the beginning, we've all been there, Kel, haven't we? We've all been there.
And your song. That's what you were referring to. That's right. I was I was drifting back into memories of the Red Fox, the beginnings. At least the second time when I dropped myself, I at least put a song on. But yeah, when you were starting out as well, that's right. You had a song and you were looking for it. Well, I do have a song here somewhere.
It's like anything. Even now, come on, Kel, I almost give out my host calling.
You were giving out your own private number tonight.
What were you doing, son? I'm going, what are you doing, Jeff? But see how easy it's done, though, Kel. How easy it is.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
You're looking at your studio and you start reading out a wrong name. What's that? What was that?
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, but what a.
Nature of the beast, huh? Nature of the beast.
But I'll say that, I think we used everything what we said we was going to use for this evening, didn't we? I think all the stories that we really wanted to highlight.
Oh, yeah. We got through all the salient issues and plus.
Yeah.
Boy, when Tommy called in and brought up Aaron Dugmore, that kind of threw me off. I was not prepared for that. I wasn't sure that you and I wanted to bring that up. But you know what? I'm glad he did.
Yeah,
I'm glad he did, but it did throw me off because I'm still really upset about it. And I started to cry a little bit.
This is what I said before. Ladies and gentlemen, it's really hard sometimes when you start reading about this little lad, you know, and his life was ended so short, simply because these racists. We got to call these Muslims racist. They was being making racist remarks and threatening his life, and this poor little lad, he's driven beyond despair. He just didn't know what to do. It's absolutely a tragic thing that happened, and we won't forget young Aaron. And his mum and his dad and his family, you know, his grand, his granddad. We won't forget. If you might be listening to the show, or someone who knows you listening to the show, we won't forget your young lad. We won't let him be forgot, you know. So, you know, we'll be seeing my thoughts and my prayers this evening when I go to bed. Be thinking of you and thinking of your loss. And... as I say, it's very difficult, but as I say, we won't forget. As I say, I've made a note in my little diary. I've got special things which I will be discussing, and we'll be talking about this again in the future. Guarantee you guys, this won't be forgot, and we'll probably be talking to, you know, my division, different people in my division. What can we do? things need to be changed. These people shouldn't be allowed to continue to do as they do with impunity. In case the teachers say that, you shouldn't say that, in case the teachers come under some sort of threats and intimidation, you know, being classed as being racist themselves, if they stand against these racists who are speaking that, it drove this poor little lad to his death. So it's a catch 25, whatever they're saying for it, isn't it? But, you know, we won't go undeterred. We will follow this through, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, Carol, well, thank you.
Yeah, we are out of time. They're going to kick us out. And when I clicked on the closing song, I hit that button a little too quick because I forgot to say my goodnights to everybody, and that includes everybody who listens in archive, and that also includes Mark, who is listening on his listening devices. So
still
my apologies to everybody for that I'm actually saying that in archive. But, you know, like Jeff and I always say, if there were no you, there would be no us, and we are so appreciative of all of you who are here.
We really are. But as I say, Kel, come to that time with well, I'll be looking forward to the Thursday show. We'll be promoting a bit more about the president of the Christian Defence League.
Jan Rennie,
yep. Who Ivan has had a chat, and say she'll be coming onto the show on March the 17th. So this is a date for you to put in your diaries, ladies and gentlemen. It should be a really interesting evening. Also, not forget, Christopher Logan's Warning, with great blog he's got. Christopher might be coming back in the future as well. So he's got an open invitation. So there you go, guys. So we've got a few things that we've got lined up for the future shows. So it's something for you to look forward to. So Kel, once again, like, thank you. Of course, you, Mark, sitting and listening, I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening, brother, because it's always a pleasure seeing you listening, and your device, what you're listening to us with as well. So once again, thank you all. God bless you. Take care. Stay safe. And I'll speak to you soon, Kel. Okay.
I will speak to you soon, Jeff. Absolutely.
We will see you all again this Thursday, 3:30 Eastern Central Time, 8:30 Greenwich Mean Time. So I'll see you there, guys. Good night, everybody. Good night, Kel. Good night, Mark. Good night.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, Mark. And good night, all listeners. Good night, everybody. And, Jeff, I will Skype you probably tomorrow.
Okay, Kel. Night, Kel. Thanks a lot. Good night,
you
guys.
Bet.